Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away, center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
All right, welcome back. Time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here once again. Off day to day for the Mariners. Two games in the book since we spoke last. So the Mariners take the series from the Oakland A's, first winning on Tuesday night, a 6-3 victory over Oakland as the former A's. Playing some long ball in that one.
The 0-2 to Alonso on the way. Swing and a fly ball well hit deep to right field. Going back, Canna to the warning track, to the wall. Leaps up. Goodbye, baseball. Yonder Alonso once again hits one into the wild blue yonder. Home runs in back-to-back games against his former ball club. His 27th home run of the season. A two-run home run for Alonso here in the top of the fourth. And it's now the Mariners 2 and the A's 1.
And a big game for Gordon Beckham. A couple of hits, swiped a bag, but made one of the catches of the year.
Yes, indeed. What a double play. Gordon Beckham, a fabulous performance on that one. And Robbie Cano with a good quick tag on the throw from Beckham. Well done, gentlemen.
The windup and the 2-2 pitch, swing and a ground ball through the hole. It short into left field. A base hit from Mike Margema. Way to go, kid. Your first hit in the major leagues here on a Wednesday afternoon at the Oakland Coliseum off of Kendall Graveman. Mike Margema, get that baseball for a souvenir. Here it is on a Wednesday afternoon, September the 27th, and Mike Margema has his first base hit in the major leagues, a one-out single to left field here in the fifth inning. Congratulations, kid. Welcome to the big leagues.
Mike, how excited are you this afternoon getting your first major league start behind home plate? What's going through your mind right now?
Just treat it like a normal game. It's out here, come out and win a ball game. That's, what it is in the big league. It's all about winning. And, so come out here, let's get Erasmo through another, great start. The one he had before was awesome. So, my priority today is getting him through a good start, calling a good game for him, and then put together some quality at-bats and see if we can win this game.
What advice have you received from your manager, Scott Servais, former catcher, of course, or Mike Zunino, as you get ready for this first outing in the big leagues as a starter?
All these guys really haven't, they give me little, tidbits here and there. But slow the game down, just relax, have fun. That's the biggest thing is we all have the ability to play at this level. It's just, can you slow it down? Can you have some fun and enjoy what you're doing? And, they're huge with that. We got Chooch and Z and Skip. All these guys have a plethora of knowledge. So having them around has been huge. And, just listening to them talk about some little intricacies, it's really, really cool.
Sitting here on the bench over the last few weeks since joining the ball club, what have you picked up about being here?
That I can play this level, and that these guys are human, right? So yeah. I think we put a lot of guys on pedestals, and like they're not going to make mistakes ever, right? But we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes, and guys are going to miss over the plate, and guys are going to swing at balls in the dirt. This game is really, really hard, right? So you've seen some of the best hitters in the world doing it, and it's just knowing that that's going to happen. But now it's just about making the adjustment and constantly making adjustments and coming every day to the ballpark trying to get better somehow.
I tell people that Edgar Martinez, who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, made 7 outs out of every 10 at-bats. This game is not easy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I think, for me, it's coming in and seeing these guys, they make adjustments quick, and they know themselves. So for me, these next few weeks and going into this offseason is let's get out there, kind of take where we're at, and then make some adjustments this offseason and get ready for spring. So
special day for you this afternoon. Who's going to be here? Your family's not too far away, are they?
No. I grew up in Northern California here, just outside of Sacramento, kind of between Sacramento and Tahoe, up in the foothills. So I'll have my parents here, I believe, today, grandparents and girls here. So, I got a plethora of family that'll be here, and I think they're all excited. I think probably more than I am, you know, but I guess that's the job of a parent. But,
sure.
You know, it's I think the dreams kind of finally come to fruition. And so for them to be a part of it, me be able to share this with all the friends and family that have come down this past weekend and will be down to Anaheim as well, it's going to be awesome. Really cool.
Your dad played ball? Grandpa played ball? Any history there in the family?
No.
Besides yourself?
Oh, well, no. I mean, my dad claimed 1 year he played Little League. so, you know, that's what he claims. But my dad, I mean, my dad was like, he went to junior college at Butte Junior College up near Chico here in Northern California, which Aaron Rodgers went to, and he got inducted into the Hall of Fame there for athletics, for football, I think football, track, and basketball. He was like a three-sport All-American in high school and college, you know, going there. So he went down to UC Irvine and ran track down there. And so now I got a little sister that is a senior this year, and she'll be playing. She's got a scholarship to Irvine for volleyball. So pretty cool for the family legacy there. But no, there's no baseball, so I don't know where I got it. And my, you know, he always jokes, my mom always jokes around and says, good thing I married your dad, because if I didn't, I have no athletic ability for you. So you know, it's just, I'm just blessed to have the support of family that I do.
I tell you what, first major league start, good luck this afternoon, kid. We'll be watching.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
James Paxton getting the start in that one, pitching into the sixth inning. And looked strong, gave up 3 earned on 6 hits, punching out 5, a couple of home runs, one of those coming in his last inning of work in the sixth, a 2-run home run. But after allowing a home run to the first batter he saw, just hung zeros in the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and really looked strong. We'll see if we get to see James Paxton start the final game of this season.
The pitch that he hit, I thought was actually a pretty good pitch. You know, I got it in on him, but he hit it. I took my cap to him. It was a good piece of hitting.
Tonight, we saw the velocity, but we also saw him be a little bit more efficient. What was the change? What was the difference from the last time?
Just trying to attack guys. You know, I found my rhythm kind of after the first inning. Started to feel it and stuff, and was feeling pretty good. You know, ball's coming out well. Just attacking the strike zone. Curveball came around today, which was good to see. You know, like I said, just a good step in the right direction for me.
Do you want to make another start?
I'm ready to. Whatever they want me to do, I'm ready to pitch another game. You know, my arm feels good. Body feels good, so I'll be ready if they call on me.
Why would it be important to start another game for you personally? Why would you want to do that?
Just to continue to feel that rhythm and feel like I'm back to where I was before I got hurt. You know, I think tonight was a step in the right direction, like I said, and it's close to being back to where I was before I got hurt.
How much of that is a confidence thing versus a mechanics thing that you want to see that one more time?
Yeah, it's both. You know, just every time I go back out there, I feel like I'm getting better and better. Like I said, tonight is was going the right way for me, and I feel like one more time out and I'll be back to where I was.
It looked like you had a pretty intense bullpen session and discussion afterwards, kind of going through mechanics. What did you want to see, and did you see that from what you were working on today?
Just wanted to see myself stay on line, you know, instead of pulling off some pitches, and I think that's what added the velocity, was being able to stay in line, take all my energy going towards the plate.
Hit the adjustment you made after the first, when your velocity ticked up after the first.
I just kind of allowed myself to stay online, and like I said, found that rhythm with it also. Finding that game rhythm with a mechanical change is always the key.
So Mariners winning game 2 of the series yesterday, a different story against the A's. Game 3 of the series, Erasmo Ramirez not as sharp as he was the time before, obviously, when he completely shut down the Cleveland Indians, but Nelson Cruz swats another home run, this one 117 miles per hour off the bat.
The stretch and the 1-1 swing and a well-hit ball down the left field line. Line shot, stay fair, gone, goodbye baseball. Nelson Cruz with his 38th home run of the year just gives the Mariners a tie game now at 2-2 with the A's. That is his 37th home run as a designated hitter, and that ties Edgar Martinez for the most by a Mariners DH.
And he's closing in now, number 38 on the season, inching closer to 40. Robinson Cano with a big bash as well.
And the 1-0 to Robbie. Swing and a drive deep to center field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes. Don't you know, Robbie Cano with his 23rd home run of the season has tied the game at 5-5 this afternoon.
But the A's, after that tying home run in the eighth, the A's win it in the bottom of the ninth.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep to left field. This one is going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Mark Canna with a walk-off home run here in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Oakland A's win it this afternoon. by a score of 6-5.
So 6-5, they walk it off. Mariners take the series, 77-82 now. They'll hook up with the Angels, if you can believe it, the last series of the year. Take a look at that series and more coming up in the podcast tomorrow. Right now, though, let's hear from the skipper. Here's Scott Servais.
You know, we didn't play great defense behind him. You know, he committed one error. You know, we kicked the ball in center field and allowed an extra, you know, base there that didn't score on the sac flies. And, you know, some balls fall in that we had been catching and turning into outs. And then one inning, we gave him five outs. And you can't do that in the big league game. You know, that hurt us there. But the effort by our guys, they fought, they battled back. You know, Haniger big hit, Cruzy homer, you know, obviously the Cano, you know, bomb to tie it up was huge. But, we had quite a run going against Oakland. I think we had beaten them seven or eight times in a row. You know, it's hard to keep that going. There's going to be some things that turn against you a little bit. But our guys, I thought, you know, effort-wise today, they certainly didn't give up, kept battling, and just not enough at the end. I thought, you know, the replay call at the end certainly did not go in our favor. And times you look at it, whatever, I guess it depends what color uniform you have on and how you saw the play. But you know, I clearly saw it that, you know, I thought the hand got in there. Big play in the game, you know, takes a guy out of scoring position there and against their closer that, you know, thought we had a chance, just didn't get it done.
Among some of the new guys, you said you expected one of them to have a big game, Marjimo with a couple of hits, and then get a chance to work with a lot of pitchers.
Yeah, you know, he made a nice throw, threw guy out, you know, a couple knocks for him, first major league hit. He's learning, you know, first game, he had a lot of nerves going into the game, and one thing, once he settled in, he played a good ball game. So, you know, you throw that many young guys out there, I figured somebody would step up today, and today he did a nice job.
As a former catcher, when could you tell that he had settled into the rhythm of that game?
I think once he got in probably the third, fourth innings, he calmed down and started talking about the hitters and reading the bat and, you know, just get into normal baseball talk. And again, you know, he's been waiting his whole life to get an opportunity to start a major league game. He did it today, you know, got a couple knocks. We almost won the game, but good effort by him.
He's got a resume not as sharp as his last outing, but what he's shown over the last month or two, pretty good going forward.
Really, yeah, I'm really happy that he's kind of stepped forward as a guy that can be in our rotation going forward. I thought the one thing he didn't do today that we'd seen in the past you saw him go more north-south in the strike zone. New catcher, you know, that's part of it. You know, Z had been catching him predominantly. I know Chooch had him for a couple outings, but, you know, getting a few balls up higher in the zone, the fastball with ride on it, really helps his stuff play at the bottom of the zone a little bit more effectively, and sometimes you get guys in a little bit more swing mode and stuff like that, but really happy how he's been throwing the ball for us. Not his sharpest outing today, but, you know, overall it's been really good.
You got a tax decision yet? Are you going to go?
I did not have one yet.
We'll keep you posted.
What do you think of Nelson Cruz's homer? 117 miles per hour.
That's pretty hard. He's for us to get to watch him every day, it doesn't really surprise us anymore how strong he is, and when he does square a ball off, you know, how it jumps off the bat. We've seen a few of those issues. I don't know if there's been any 117, but and we've certainly seen a few hard hit balls from him that get over the fence. You know, when he hit the ball, I think it's going to hook foul, and just didn't have time. It was hit that hard. So, big hit in the game.
Here's Shannon Dreyer.
I catch up with Felix Hernandez, who has a little extra time on his hands, as he's been told he will not make another start this year. He's fine with that, by the way. He knows it's important to get out of this season healthy. Last night, an interesting start for him, a start where, according to everybody, by all accounts, he had absolutely nothing in the bullpen. Felix told us it was so bad that they told Andrew Albers to start playing catch with the outfielders in the warm-ups in case he was needed in the first inning. That, of course, did not happen. Felix gave six innings. He talks about how he got there. Felix, it was great to see you get out there last night and have the performance that you had, and then you kind of told us a little story that nobody was really kind of expecting you to last very long out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, the way I warm up in the bullpen was bad. Yeah, but this is me. I'm just gonna go out there and compete. Whatever I got, just gonna give it a shot and just give me a chance to win the baseball game.
What happens? I mean, what are you thinking when you're out there and you're just seeing nothing's working and you get on the hill? What are you thinking at that point when you see the hitters?
I wasn't thinking at all. I was just seeing fingers, and I was just throwing the ball. I mean, I think Mike called a good game, and then we go in, out, up, and in, down and away. We do a lot of stuff with curveball changes, and it works, and it was really good.
I know this year's been a tough year for you, obviously. You've never had to deal with the injuries that you've had to deal with, and coming back from the injury can be tough, too, and that you just can't find the consistency. What is the biggest thing that you take away from that, and what have you learned from kind of struggle this year?
Well, actually, I learned not to get hurt, just to stay healthy whole year. I mean, it was tough. I mean, what I learned is just, I mean, when you're off with your mechanic, it's going to be tough to pitch. But, like, when you're on, yeah, I think you can do good things. So I was going to work on my stuff for the next year, a lot of exercise for my shoulder. A lot of cardio and all that stuff, and just be ready for next year.
You talk about the mechanics. I mean, is this the most off you've been? I assume that you haven't really been used to being off, and so that's an adjustment too.
Yeah, I got to work on that. Yeah, I think I'm gonna call some friends that know me pretty well, and then you know we're gonna work together. And next year I'm gonna be on it.
So you're kind of reinventing a little bit, it sounds like.
No, I'm just trying to be myself, but what I used to be 2 years ago, I mean, same mechanic, good rating. I mean, the thing that was the thing that caused my shoulder problems, mechanics too, because I was opening too quick. I was letting my arm way in the back, and then that was the reason why my shoulder was barking a little bit. And then now I'm just trying to be on it, my mechanic, and just trying to be loose.
Off-season routine last year, you kind of invested in doing something different, and it sounds like it didn't really pay off for you.
It did pay off. I mean, I actually feel real good. I know that, you know, the shoulder problem was happening. It's just baseball. I mean, I'm not a kid anymore, but it paid off. It was really good. I think my body just came out real nice when I showed up to spring training, and then, well, I just got to find a different routine and see what we're going to do this off-season.
But not as much upper body is kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah, not as much upper body. I mean, probably I'm less exercise for, you know, not too much weight. Something different. We'll see.
I continue my conversation with Felix Hernandez, who starts with a state of the pitch evaluation and ends with an in-depth look at his off-season plan.
It was really good. I mean, like I said, I think I can throw a curveball anytime, any count. I mean, I feel pretty good. It's like my pitch that I can throw. Like, if I walk up right now, I throw a curveball, it's going to be first strike. I mean, I don't know, it feels good with that pitch, and I think I feel good with all my pitches.
Well, sinker, too, is another one that looked like one of your better ones this year.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, the game that I threw against Texas a long time ago, like in April, I think it was in April when I went 7 innings, something like that. Mm. And last night, it was really good. Good sinker down in the way, and then there was a lot of ground balls, so it works.
Lastly, the changeup is something that we've seen a little bit, mile or two off of it here or there. Is that something that you plan, or is that something that, are you working to take a little off of that?
No, I'm not taking it off. That's my pitch. I'll be confident with a changeup. I can throw it any time. So that's my weapon. So I'm going to work on it. I'm going to still work on it and keep doing it.
What's been fun is how you've mixed them this year. What have you learned about mixing those pitches?
Then is I think, you know, everybody knows me, you know, when they get to try, it's going to get a change. Yeah, so I'm just going to say I'm just going to use more fastball like I did last night. Mm. And more fastball, more curveballs, and we'll see how they react.
It's funny, you love to strike people out. You're very upfront about that, but you also in the back of your mind say sometimes that out is going to come better if they make contact. Are you kind of coming to grips with that?
I love to strike out people. I mean, I love that. I mean, I'm trying to get to 3,000.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm going to keep trying to strike out people, but if they get contact, because they're going to swing the first pitch, they know me. They know they got no chance when they get to try, so they're going to try and swing early, so. If I got that sinker working, and it's going to get quick outs.
Yeah, ground ball outs are a good thing, too.
Yes.
Hey, off the field, have you got a trip planned? Are you going to do something fun this year?
Not yet. We don't got nothing yet. The Kickstart school in Miami, and it's going to be a tough one because we cannot take him out of school. We're going to go to Dominican, a few weddings over there. Elvis Andrus' wedding, and Adrian Beltre's renewed his bow. So that's what we plan right now, Dominican right now. We don't know yet.
So the kids first and school first.
School first, yeah.
All right.
The first time in school, I got him a home school mm-hmm. all this year, but now he's going to school in Miami.
What's that going to be like? Are you going to pick him up at school? Are you going to do any of the driving or anything like
that? I'm going to take him to school. I'm going to pick him up. I mean, it's going to be early wake up for me.
Are you going to cook breakfast? Can you do that?
I think I got my wife for that.
Okay. So this is actually a kind of new adventure for you this offseason.
Yeah, it's different. It's going to be different. I know, I talked to Jeremy, talked to Mia, and they're excited to, I mean, Daddy, when you're going to come over here?
when you're going to come over here. We miss you. I'll be there. As soon as the season's over, I'll be there. Yeah, I want you to take me to school. I want you to pick me out of school. And it's gonna be different. Jeremy is excited too. You got 5 more days to get here, right? But yes, baby, I'll be there in 5 days.
Well, Felix, we wish you all the best on the off season, and that actually sounds better than the trip to Hawaii and Africa and wherever else.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a challenge because I'm not a morning person, so it's gonna be a challenge. I know Jeremy's gonna wake me up every day, like he didn't want to. Daddy, I want to have breakfast with you. I'll say, wake me all day. And he starts slapping my face. Hey, woke up. Okay, let's go breakfast.
This mean you're going to be early for spring training every day?
I'm still not a morning person. I have to do it because it's my job. I have to wake up because it's my job. It's the off season. They're my kids now, so I got to wake up early.
I can't wait to see this. Felix, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, the Mariners and the division champions, the Chicago White Sox. This is the first of the final trio of games in 1983 for the Mariners. And my guest is a name that you have heard in every one of our broadcasts all the way back beginning in March back in Tempe, Arizona. A new name on the Mariner broadcast. You have never heard from him, and most of you have never seen him. His name is Kevin Kremen, and Rick and I refer to him all the time as our producer-engineer. And he probably is more of a producer than an engineer because he does so many things so well. First of all, Kevin, I know how you got the job. You are from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tell the friends how you did get the job.
Well, Dave, I helped you all out last year in Kansas City, as you know. In all the cities that we go to, we hire a runner, someone who will get us a post-game guest and help out in the booth. And I did that for you and did a pretty good job at it. And at the end of the season, received a call from you and asked if I'd like to be the producer-engineer for next season.
What impressed me more than just being a runner and going and getting a guest, though, was your baseball knowledge. Last year, Kenny Wilson, my old partner, had a show that lasted about an hour after every broadcast, and you helped also produce that. And you always have a baseball paper, sporting news. You have the sports encyclopedia, baseball encyclopedia. You're a real student of the game. Where did you pick up your baseball background?
Well, I come from a large family, and they're all baseball fans. I was raised with baseball, always loved baseball. We lived in Tulsa, and every summer went to Kansas City to see a ball game, or two or three or four, and just grew to love the game and read as much as I could, played a little bit, didn't play that well, but grew to love the game, and the facts, the lore of the game is what I like.
The thing that you will find out about Kevin Kremen if you ever sit and talk with him about baseball in the first 30 seconds that he's an absolute nut for the Los Angeles Dodgers, always has been a Dodger fan. Where did that come from, being from Tulsa?
I don't know. My grandparents were Dodger fans, but they were from Tulsa, too. And my dad was a Dodger fan, so am I. Just always have been. We like the Dodgers. I still do. I've become a Mariner fan now, but I'm still a Dodger fan.
So you're in essence, if the Dodgers get in the World Series, all of a sudden you're going to switch your allegiance, become a National League fan?
I'll be rooting for the Dodgers. You can be sure of that. You can be absolutely sure of that.
Kevin Kremen, our producer-engineer, my guest from the Kingdom. What has impressed you the most about the Major Leagues, your first year in the Major Leagues? You're just like a raw rookie, and you're out of the ballpark very early, and we'll get into some of your duties a little later on. But what has impressed you the most your first year going around from city to city?
It's been interesting because, like I said, I have been to ball games, but never as part of a ball club. And you go from city to city, and the travel arrangements, the hotel, most of those things, well, all of those things are taken care of for you. And it's nice to see the parks from this standpoint and to see the players, to see the games from start to finish, from batting practice and on. And just to see how baseball works, the press facilities at the different parks and how one puts it together one way and one does it another way.
I think that the thing that would impress me, and it did my first year, I guess, as a Major League broadcaster, was the travel. And that's most of the things that people hate about Major League Baseball as the years grow on, because you go to the same cities, you see the same bellhops, you go to the same hotels. And I would think, however, as a first-year guy, just going to the cities themselves would be something of a thrill.
Yes, it is. Well, they're great cities. They're all the best cities in America, and we stay in nice hotels. And I enjoy seeing those cities and the things, the restaurants. I like the restaurants in those cities. And the ballparks. Love seeing all the ballparks. Remember the first park we went to on the road was in Detroit. Quite a thrill.
Kevin Kremen, my producer-engineer on the Mariner broadcasts here. on the Mariner Network all year long. My guests, we have only two more games to go after tonight, and we are really not as smart as we sound. We come up with statistics and figures, and all of a sudden we have something at the tip of our fingers, and you think, how in the world can Neos and Riz have all that information stored? Well, we don't, and Kevin has a big part to do with that. We're going to find out about that when Mariner Watch continues right after this timeout.
Okay, batter up. Here we go with the two greatest trades in baseball history. It's the winter of 1919, and the owner of the Boston Red Sox needs cash to finance a loser Broadway play. So he trades his power-hitting outfielder to the Yankees for $125,000. The play? No, no, Nanette. The player? Babe Ruth. The result? Boston's been saying no, no, Nanette ever since. Now it's 1983, and you've got a car in your lineup that's not playing up to potential. Trade it for a new Chevrolet at your Western Washington Chevy dealers. He's in a must-trade situation right now, which means you can sign a major league deal to get an undisclosed amount of cash for your car. And believe me, J. Michael Kenyon, that undisclosed amount can add up to plenty. So go for it now. Make your best trade for a new Chevette, a Z28, a Sporty S10, whatever looks good. Because the game's running in your favor at your Western Washington Chevy dealers.
Kevin Kremen, who is the producer-engineer on the Mariner broadcast throughout the 1983 season, and he'll be back in 1984, my guest. Your day at the ballpark begins about 4 o'clock, doesn't it?
About 4. I usually get here about 4, sometimes a little before. And on the road, I generally get to a park even earlier than that the first time that we're there in order to set up the equipment and make sure there's no surprises, get our dugout connections right for our post-game show and that sort of thing.
Of course, fans always enjoy being kept up to date on all the other games, and you have the ticker over there that gives you the scores, but you have to prepare sheets for that.
Oh, yeah, you get a scoreboard prepared for that day's activity around baseball and the games that have already been played and the games that are coming up. Check back a little bit on their records, like we like to keep up with the streaks, the different teams are their winning and losing streaks right then, and just get prepared for the game, get a pitching chart prepared, so we can keep track of that during the game too.
That is one thing I think that the friends this year that have written me, fans that have written me, have enjoyed in addition to the information that we have given in the past. That of knowing the number of pitches and numbers of balls and strikes, and you actually have the same pitching chart that Frank Funk does down there, or the pitcher that's going to pitch the next day, whomever is keeping the pitching chart, and you can look back three or four innings and tell me what the count was when a guy got a single, double, triple, or home run.
Well, that started in the spring. I noticed in our first few broadcasts, we'd be watching a guy go and wonder, well, how many pitches is this guy throwing? I wonder, how long are they going to leave him in? I thought, well, let's keep track of it so we'll know. And it's always better to actually have the fact than just to guess. And it's been helpful. It's been fun to watch that way, too.
What kind of baseball games do you like? You like the pitcher's duels or you like the 14 to 12 affairs?
I like pitcher's duels. I'd rather see a well-pitched, well-played ball game. And usually a well-pitched game involves good play in the field. A lot of hitting games, those are fun. It's great to see the ball go out of the park. Great to hear you call them, too. But those games sometimes get out of control, like our 19-7 game early in the year. But I prefer a pitching duel.
Kevin, you're a tremendous fan, and you really are in on the foundation, I think, of a new Mariner look, especially here in the month of September, and here it is the last day of September. So many kids were called up and given a chance to play. I think the record has suffered because of it, but the kids are going to get a chance to play, and they are going to really be the backbone of this organization. Which of the youngsters has impressed you the most?
I like Darnell Coles at third base a lot. He looks like he's going to be a real good ball player. And, of course, I like our right-handed and left-handed pitching tandem of Moore and Young. They look like they'll be around for a few years, too. Ricky Nelson looks like a good ball player. I just hope that we stay with these guys and develop them and keep them and add to that, not get rid of a lot of them. Add to the foundation that these young players, it might mean another bad season next year, but you've got to have a little patience with that. You got to let your system develop and get a character, like Dodger teams, go back to that. Dodger teams are always a lot the same. One Dodger team 8 years later, it's the same sort of Dodger team. You got to have a personality. A team needs a personality so that the fans can identify with that and come out, see the same players, get an allegiance to a guy, two or three guys, And you get better support that way and better ball clubs that way.
Did the Dodgers surprise you after losing Say and Garvey this year and going with the two kids?
They did.
Brock and Marshall?
They did. I picked the Padres to win this year, which shows what I know. But that did surprise me. But when looking back, it shouldn't surprise you because that's what a good organization does. The Baltimore Orioles, their team isn't the same as it was 3 or 4 years ago, but here they are again in the postseason play.
Well, Kevin, you've done a magnificent job, as they say in this business, for our guests appearing on the show, the check's in the mail.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Kevin Kremen, really, for guests appearing on our pregame show, they receive a handsome Seiko quartz watch. Seiko is setting the standard for the world for the future. See the fine selection of Seiko watches at your authorized Seiko dealer. Coming up, Rick will have a look at tonight's baseball scoreboard right after this timeout.
See you later!